Good morning. There's a lot more of you than I thought there would be. That is a good thing, especially if we're here in the house of the Lord. And look, I'm elated to be here. This has been a crash course of a week of just kind of, last week getting into town, getting everything ready. And this week we finally made some progress. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I kind of have to have like things kind of put together, and I think there's twofold for that. Like, I have to have my resources available so that I can pull them out, but also I might have like distraction issues or OCD or something that comes with that, because it's like this week as I've, quickly it's, oh, Bill, the sink's broken. Let's go check on something real quick. And I've just, there's something that always pulls at my time, so I'm glad that we're moving forward. But today is kind of a different Sunday for us in the sense of twofold. I get the opportunity to thank Pastor Bob and Barbara Christensen for their service. And so thank you, because of you and your faithfulness. We are still going as a church, and there is a post to come back to, and therefore we are so grateful for that. So, and then as well today, we're going to get a chance to dedicate a child and also an infant. And so that is growth that is taking place in our church family. So it is a bit different in nature, but it is a celebration. And so I think that as a church family, we get an opportunity to really latch onto those things and celebrate them. So first off, I will have Pastor Bob and Barbara come up, and we have a little appreciation gift for you guys. And so I want to make sure that we get you guys going early here. So come on up, come on down. You're the next contestants on You Did It Right. Yes, absolutely. So, as you know, I just explained that I just rolled into town, so a lot of this has nothing to do with me, but the sincere, genuine thank you is there. But this is a reflection of a lot of the family that you've served here at Fairview, and so they have a couple cards for you. They also have a gift certificate for you guys to go and eat some dinner. I heard there's enough that you can even maybe take a group, or you guys go multiple times. So, and then I was told that these are for you, madam. So, lovely. And so, on behalf of the church, thank you so much. And we have a little bit of a history, I think, that people don't know. I joke that I've got to now pick up for two Christensens, because there's I got Bob and Carl that are transitioning here. But I said, I'm grateful for this time when they lead, because a little backstory between us. When I left Vancouver a few years back as associate pastor and the head of global strategy there, they came in and filled in for me there. And so it's only fitting 5 years later that they were filling in the post waiting for me to come back and take this on. So back in the state of Washington, even though we had to move, so God is good, and we talked about just the faithfulness. This was your fifth time here from a little kid on that you've come back to Fairview. So it is home on behalf of all of us. We expect to see you. We want you guys back, and so thank you so much for your service. So I'm just going to pray for you real quick, and then I'm going to let you go. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for Bob and Barbara. God, their ministry. God, that they were just obedient to your calling and accepting Fairview Church again, God, just for this time and period. Thank you that you were with them, that you guided them, that you were providing for them. Thank you that this is their church family and this is their church home. God, that they would always feel that way about this place. And God, that they would feel welcomed and loved and appreciated by those that have been here throughout the years. So God, I pray that you continue to be with them. God, thank you for their service. Continue to bless them richly, and we love them so much. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Lord, I want to pray too. I want to thank you for Pastor TJ, Courtney, and their family, and their friends. We thank you for their listening to you, for their coming, and for their dedication to you and to the service of the church. We pray your blessing upon them this and every Sunday, every week, as they serve here faithfully. May their light shine, may their example be true, and may their integrity be something that the church and the community admires. Watch over them, Lord. Give them guidance. We will continue to pray for them. We love them, Lord, and we thank you for bringing them here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have a gift for you. It's in the car. We'll give it to you after the service, so you'll stick around.
I will be here. Thank you. Absolutely.
Can I just share these for a few minutes?
Yeah, you want to leave them up here? It's kind of heavy. You could work on your curls in between the service. Yeah. Yeah, those two. I felt like that was not only necessary, but just an opportunity to thank them. And for those of you who don't know, just a little backstory, that they've served here, and they were the senior pastors here from 73 to 83. It kind of dates back to, if you're not real familiar, I know Olivia asked for hands this morning, and there was quite a few first-timers, but it was Woodland Park at that point, and now it's Fairview. And so thank you so much for that as we continue on. Today, I was looking at the other part of the celebration, which is the child dedication. And so, as I was prepping and I was looking at it, I mean, we know what the significance of community and family is, but I looked at a little bit of a different twist maybe than you've heard of, and looked at Luke 2, 40 through 52. And so, it kind of goes like this, and I'm going to title this one Faith and Family, and it kind of went in unison with Pastor Bob brought a message last week about service and how do we get involved. And so if you weren't here, I'm going to take a side little trip over here. If you weren't here, he kind of made this an opportunity, and he talked about service and when Jesus humbled himself and washed the feet of his disciples. And I think one of the phrases he used is, you can also never too much to pick up a vacuum and start to work at that part. But this is a dedication to us. And so it just has James 1:1 on that. And if you didn't get one last week, this was a powerful message to be able to remember the act of service and following what Jesus did. And so I went with Faith and Family this week, which will also dovetail into the dedication. But we also, Miss Sheila in the office, found some of these shirts that say Faith and Family on them. They're from the Mariners, but I thought, well, that would be really cool, Faith and Family. And so we have like 20 of them. So yeah, if you're looking for some, we have some of these things available for us today, and I want to make sure that you get those. But let's just jump into Luke 2:40-52. In verse 40, it says this, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why were you searching for me?' he asked. 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, thank you for the growth that Jesus had, for the growth of his parents, both Mary and Joseph. I know the fear of a parent when you're separated from your child. And God, I just pray that you would continue to be with them. Help us all as we continue to grow as a family and as we raise children. God, that we would be there, that we'd be a blessing. God, bless us this morning. Pray that you'd be with this message and that it would just continue to resonate with each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as a parent, this story may resonate with you. Here they're going, and they kind of have this moment where... Now, remember, in context, they're traveling in caravans. And so, it's safer this way. There's a group of them, and they're all going down the road. And you maybe get about 10 miles in a day. And it wasn't unusual for them to think, you know, the men kind of stayed. They kind of brought up the rear, so to speak, towards the back of the pack. And the kids kind of played around, and so it would have been normal for maybe Joseph to think, oh, Jesus is with Mary, or vice versa, Mary to think, oh, he's back with Joseph. But it resonates because you may have lost a child, misplaced a child, or just didn't know where they were. Maybe you feel like you've been in some of those, remembering some of the stories that have happened in my life, and don't worry, honey, there's none that are too serious about our kids that I remember. Disclaimer. But, you know, as we've got settled in this week, one of our kids' favorite things is to play hide-and-go-seek. And so you can only imagine with a facility this big and the places they can go and Daddy's office is now up on the third floor and everything in between feels like fair game. It reminded me of them going and playing hide-and-go-seek and exploring this new building and doing things. And it goes back to talking of family and culture. For our one-year-old birthday, we have a luau for our kids, and this is to celebrate them and in our culture. And so it was Ella and Trey are about 17 months apart, and then Isaiah came a couple years later. And so for Isaiah's one-year birthday party, we're having this luau in our backyard and everything, having a good time and pig and all these different things that are going on. Well, Ella didn't really like large crowds. And so she just quietly slipped out, wanted to play her own little personal game of hide-and-go-seek that anyone else was not aware of. And my parents lived next door, but people started to leave, and we had not seen our daughter. And so we're starting to have this panic, like, lost, misplaced. What are some of the things I just said there? And so we're looking at this, and we're really just like, oh, my goodness, where is she at? And so we start looking for her. We can't find her anywhere. And my parents live next door, so we're, like, going next door, you know, like, hey, have you guys seen Ella? Where's she at? And of course, if you've ever been in this situation, it almost just perpetuates the panic when you invite other people into your chaos, especially when it's the grandparents of said grandchild that's now misplaced. And so, you know, it became this frantic part. And so we start looking and trying to find her. And in our house in Vancouver, we had these built-ins in the office. And Ella had not like the big event of the day, and maybe it wasn't about her because it was about Isaiah, or I don't know what, but she had whittled herself into a cupboard and fallen asleep in there. And so as we were looking for this lost child, I mean misplaced, I mean napping child, we had to search high and low. And so I can only imagine the panic that Joseph and Mary are going through here in Luke 2 as they're trying to, oh my goodness, where are we at? And, you know, allude to Jesus is 12. And so I'm thinking, if I'm Mary, in my mind, I'm thinking, 12 years ago in this timeline, God sent Gabriel to say that I am in favor with him and I am going to have this child. And we're not just talking any child, we're talking the child of God, right? And so now she's probably thinking, oh my gosh, I've lost this child. And so, if you've ever been there, no need to point at your spouse, but you get this story, that it resonates, that if you lose a child, that you go back for them. And that imagery of a caravan is what we are as a church family and as a community. We are here together because it's more eyes equals more protection and correction and things where we can do that. So I can just see them in this moment going and traveling. But parents need a godly community. And as we get a chance to dedicate these kids today in application, Cephsics are going to need a community, a godly community around them to help as they raise their two children. These caravans travel together because they have that protection. They can take the journey together, and whatever life throws or that road for that day, they can face it together. Kids are playing together and they have a chance, and Mr. John has taken the kids out for the day to teach them, but in this scenario, again, they're out there learning about God, and we don't know where they're at, but we would come back together and join with them. So the difference is at night is they would come together, and then they would talk about stories. How did they learn that day, or what did they have? And they kind of have this iron sharpens iron moment, and that's when they realize that Jesus is not there. They start counting. They see his brothers and his sisters, and they're 1, 2, 3, 4. And they keep coming up short. Where is Jesus? There's a lot to gain. These parents look out not only for their own children, but the children of others. And that's when a church is working well. Not only are you looking out for your children, but you have those that come beside you. I can say that, news alert on my first Sunday, I don't know everything. And so I'm still learning with some of these kids. In fact, I was a Bible teacher at the high school, and when I was helping those parents, like, I couldn't miss. Like, I could help solve their high schoolers' problems with them. And I was just saying the same things that parents were, but for whatever reason, it was a little bit more hip or cool, and it resonated with them. I fully understand that as I move into that age where my kids become high schoolers, I'm going to know a lot less and become clueless in their eyes. So if we can continue to bring them around, it's always funny when you go on a trip and you hear the phrase or something like, you know, if my kid gets out of line, you have my permission to correct them, to get on them. And that's also a sign of family and community. Now, if you grew up in the culture and environment that I did, you didn't even need that disclaimer from the parents. It was kind of like an unspoken prayer request that you just considered already done. Only thing is, if you got in trouble with someone else, man, you just dreaded that because you knew by the time you got home, you were going to get double from your parents on the back end for what you'd gotten from them. And so you strive never to have that part happen. And so you would see that correction once you returned home. And then there's always those parents that say they want to go at it alone. And it's still a bit of a head scratcher for me because I feel like that's not an effective way. We need each other. The Bible says when two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. And we need him to guide us, to be with us. I think one of the strongest opportunities for the community is the local church. And as long as the church recognizes that these opportunities that we have, then the families can get blessed. We have this opportunity, and we have to recognize that we can provide godly parents and a godly community for those to engage in. And children, just like the parents, need a godly community. Kids are like sponges. They pick up things, and so that first 5 to 6 years, they mimic their parents. They say things, they pick up your mannerisms. You know, sometimes we think they're cute, and we put them on like Twitter or some kind of loop when your kid will give you some kind of attitude thing, and quickly my wife will say, that's your child. I mean, but we see those things that they pick up. They're like sponges. And then sometime around that 5, 6, 7 year old age, they start to have other outside influences. They start school and they pick up other things. And pretty shortly, they have other mannerisms. And so we have to, again, continue to reaffirm our our role as parents and as a church family. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says it this way. Do not be bad company corrupts good character. So you've heard this in a different way. Be careful who you hang out with, right? And so, be a godly example. Simply put, we have a job to do, church. Set a daily example. As a teacher, I learned that some of the best students are usually the ones where the parents are involved in their life. We have to be actively involved. We may feel ill-equipped because we don't have kids at home, but you know what? We still have a role. We have to continue learning as Christ did and point them in the direction. As parents, rather we want to admit it or not, we act as if we all have it figured out. But like I said, sometimes that can be a facade. So let's go ahead and read again verses 48 through 50 when it says, verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying. See, Mary and Joseph had a lot to learn too as the parents, as they're coming to find Jesus. Their oldest son, their oldest child is 12 years old and not too far off from where I'm at. Trey in a couple months is about to be 11 years old, and to love on them and to help them. But Jesus goes beyond that, and he's explaining to them this theological moment that God is Father. He is there. He is our Heavenly Father. And it's becoming personal. Like it says, and Mary said, she treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor, God and man. Children need to be open to learning. It's interesting that as I looked at these two as bookends, verse 40 where we started, it alludes to that. And verse 52, as it closes, has that too. Verse 40 again says this, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." So they're growing, and that's what we're trying to instill as a church body. And then on the end, on 52, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and man again." He's learning and still picking up things. When we finally find him, he's in the temple learning and listening and asking questions. And what is this thing that he's learned? What was the last thing that you learned that you pushed yourself to? What did you come to? When was the last time you dug into the scriptures? What was it about? Was it the church? And even though there was a panic probably in finding Jesus, I think, you know, just like finding Ella that day, in retrospect, there was this moment where they look at it and they say, okay, at least he was in his father's house. He wasn't somewhere else, and they were able to see that he was there and he was learning. Over the course of his ministry, over the course of my ministry, I've heard parents say different things, and hopefully that's the case here. We have an outreach with the childcare, and we've had a school in the past, but they look at it and say, "I came today because my kid wanted to come to church." And how cool is that? That faith like a child, where the child is prompting the parent to say, "Hey, I want to be there." See, in the Christian home, the church should play a central role. And as parents, we have a choice on that role that the church plays. We can either build it up and speak edifying great things about the church, or we can tear it down, and they'll receive that as well. And so what is it that we want to do? We can make a priority, or we can just make things go as they are. We need each other in fellowship. We need each other in the good and bad times. We need the church. Those of us with kids and grandkids, we need the church. And for those who don't have kids yet, then my charge to you is you need to be the church to help and to encourage and to lift them up. So I am at this point going to invite the Cephsics to come forward, and so we'll have them come up. Grab children. Yes, go grab them. They are the stars of the show. So we're going to have them come up, and we'll have the family come around them here in a second. But if there's those things, and I know this is a different task sometimes of looking at how does this come together as a family, but you can see very easy as Christ followers where Christ at 12 is still learning about his Father's business. He's trying to get more. In that context of that, you have the Passover. And so as everybody's taking this pilgrimage to go back, if you'd be in the temple at that time, and he's asking and answering these questions, like the brightest of bright had traveled home to Jerusalem during that time. And so Jesus isn't just like sitting on the corner chopping it up with like just nobody. He's like with the who's who of that moment, and he's having these valid conversations. And so that's where I think when we talk about Mary and we see those things that they come to life. And so as a church, we need this. Jesus set forth with this for growth. And so I want to make sure that we can do that. So we're going to have them come up when they get a chance, as they get everybody. Absolutely. It's And so I'm going to have Courtney come up actually here too and help me, because as we do this, we wanted to have some gifts and stuff. And so they have a New Testament Bible and then just kind of a resource from our family to yours to help you. And look, as I just talked about, the resources don't just go with stop with today, but they continue on. And so real quickly, the two more verses, I guess I could have read those, but Joshua 24:15 says this: "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you are living. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's kind of what you guys are proclaiming this morning. And then Proverbs 22:6, "Start off a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it." And so I'm just going to pray for these two, and I'm just going to anoint them here. Hi, Miss Kaya. How are you? Are those pliers? I like it. You know, it is Mr. Bill's birthday. He'd probably use your help around here. But we're going to just pray for them. And then as a church family, this is our caravan. So if you just want to maybe extend a hand out as we pray for them and just lift them up. And as much as this is a declaration from the parents' behalf, this is also a participation part from our behalf as a church family, that we are going to be there to help, to fix, to corral, any of the things that we need. But it is all in love. So I'm just going to pray for them. Caden, just chill. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this precious gift of Kaya and of Caden. And God, I pray that you would just continue to be with them. God, that this is not a salvation moment for them, but it is our dedication and our heart's desire to come along Alex and Kirsten. And God, to usher them into a relationship so that, Father, when they become of age, that they would choose you first. God, continue to be with them. God, help us as a church family as we continue to love them, be there for them at their point of need. Maybe when a child is misplaced or even lost, God, just as your son was. God, help us to equip them and empower them and to love on them, to be there for them. Be with these sweet children. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We have lost things here several times. So,
yeah. You've lost? Yeah. Misplaced. And so here is a little gift as a token. Just, it has, Kaya, you get a book. Two books. Jesus Calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. And so as we've asked for God's guidance and blessing on their lives, and as a church family, we're going to train them up and love them and follow as Christ did. These kids may not remember this day. So as a church family, it is our job to tell them early and often of the prayer and the covenant that was made today on their behalf. Remind them that their parents, remind them that their church family, remind them that grandpa and grandma and aunts and uncles and everyone loves them, and that they desire nothing more than to see them in a right relationship with our God. So thank you to the parents and children and the church for all the things that you've done. And like I said, today is a fun, you know, probably not every Sunday are we going to have a chance to thank a pastor and have return, share the lovely flowers with us. But will we get a chance to have a towel? And boy, with kids, this could be a burp cloth. This can be a utility tool of different needs. And so in a pinch, I'm sure we could go cloth diaper if we needed to, but this is our opportunity, as Pastor Bob said last week, to serve, to step in that gap. And I don't know what that will mean to each and every one of you as we leave here today, but it might not be right at this moment, but as we continue to step forward, know that this is real. And if you want a faith and family shirt that goes with the message today, I didn't have to have these specially printed, but Miss Sheila has at least 20 that are up here, and possibly a few more she said we could even get to. So if you are interested in those, we could do that. We do have like the Worthens and Sefsiks, and those families are going to continue on for this next portion, but I want to just tell you thank you again from my family who's here, including a lot of my aunts and uncles, and on both sides. So I have both the Samoan side, which is easy for me to identify with all the island stuff that I have on, but there's also my mom's side, which is the Ukrainian side. And so my aunt and my uncle Bob are here as well. And then thank you to all my aunties and uncles and cousins that have shown up this morning. I appreciate it so much that you guys are here. And I'm even more elated, as we've talked about family, that regardless of where we are, whether I'm in Boise or now here in Seattle, that your heart is, as grandpa and grandma had raised us, is in the church. And so no matter where we go, to come back to that foundational piece. And so that would be my goal, my hope for this church family as we push forward, is that God would continue to prepare that for us. And remember, we don't always have to have the answers. God knows I don't, but collectively we know a God that does. And so we can go and we can continue to rely upon his omniscience and omnipotentness, and just continue to be there. So thank you so much for that. Thank you, Yvonne, for your words and being a cheerleader. I'm sure I'm going to have times where I will continue to need not only the scripture, but your words of wisdom. And thank you for that. So thank you all. Again, you know, I go around the room, I could just keep picking people off. And you all played a role of Fairview Futures, the Elder Board, so on and so forth. And even those of you that have just been meeting and praying and petitioning for God's will to be done here in Seattle. And I think that as I've come here, there's just so many things where God can continue to utilize this church strategically placed on a hill to be a light for Seattle. And so thank you for that. I'm going to pray, and then there's more fun and celebration and festivities to be had. And if I haven't got a chance to meet you, please stop by, or you're always welcome to come back again next Sunday as well. And again, until I meet you. But we are glad to be back in the great state of Washington. And so thank you for that. Let's pray, and you'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness, God, I thank you that we are growing. God, not only just in number, but God, that we are growing in you, growing in our understanding, growing in our faith, growing in the sweet instance of having numerical growth of new children. Father, faith like a child, and the least of these come to my mind when we think about that. But Father, help those verses in Joshua and Proverbs to ring true, that we would raise up children that they may not depart from it, to start them off early so that they would know what is right. God, thank you so much. And as we continue to just sing this last song as we leave out, that, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. God, it's such a fitting song and a reminder of where we're at. So as we leave here today, God, I pray that if we've come in with something, Father, that we would be able to lay it down at the foot of your cross, that we take up more of you, and that, Father, that this church would not just function within these walls, Father, that you would break them down and that it would just run out into the communities, to the highways and byways that we have this week in front of us. God, continue to help us, equip us to be ambassadors for you. God, thank you. How much we need you. Help us to be a light for this young family that has made the declaration to keep you first, not only in their family, but in their children's lives as well. So we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's just all stand together, stretch our legs, and just sing a couple choruses of Lord, I Need You, and then get on with the celebration of the day and